The thing that is stopping everyone is fear. The fear that most stops people is the fear of other people's judgments. Whether it is therapy, which I think is profoundly effective for so many people, but has a cost associated with it. Whether it is the limitation, this is a big one. This is a favorite of mine, because it's working. Got a text last night. Rachel, big shout out to you. I love your text at midnight last night. Pointed to a piece of content that touches on what I'm about to say, and it's changed her life. Whether it is the limitation of the people around you that you love that bring negativity on the hour, every day, every week, every year. Not the cutting out, not calling mom and saying, fuck you mom, you're negative, I'm never talking to you again. No, instead of talking to your negative mom twice a day, you talk to her once every 2 weeks. Cause cutting is not practical.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Vayner Nation live from New York City, but not in my office. We're in Orchard Street. I'm really excited about this fun thing to set up here. 2020, we did a Gary V challenge that I put out to the community about making. It was behind the deck and the content. I think it's well documented for my three guests and many of the people listening. We believe in content output. We believe that the doing matters. It's kind of like in the content world, it's similar to the working out physical fitness world. You can read about push-ups and eating well, but you kind of actually have to do it to get the benefits of it. And we did this contest. We said we'd pick a couple of winners, have them on the podcast. And then I don't know if you guys and gals remember, but there was this thing, it was called COVID, kind of threw us for a loop. One thing I'm proud of is I juggle a lot of balls. What that means is certain things fall, but the intent is always to deliver on all balls in the air. This was one that was in the air. And here we are 3 years later. And our three winners are with me. We are at P&T Studios, podcast studios here in New York City, which, by the way, Serge, correct me if I'm wrong, who's up behind the 1, 2, 3, and 4s. Creators can come through here and do the podcast, right? It's a bookstore podcast combo. Yeah, and it's free.
Completely.
So how do they do that? Do they just go to the website or just roll the fuck into the bookstore?
Go to our website and click on podcasts in the menu tab, and it'll take you to everything you need to know about the store and how to sign up.
Awesome. Yeah. One of the investor or the owner of this, I had a meeting about a year ago, and he was telling me about the place. I was like, that just sounds awesome. I mean, there's the amount of potential podcasters that are sitting in the tri-state area alone, let alone the people that visit New York. That now just heard that, are gonna go to the website. We'll make sure we link that up in the copy of the podcast if we're capable on Spotify and Apple, or we'll definitely put in the Gary V Instagram story swipe ups and stuff of that nature. So I'm excited, because it's a win-win-win kind of day. I like when a lot of people win. Number one, the global audience of aspiring podcasters that are listening to this right now should really come to the studio. We're looking at the street in New York that has a lot of flavor. This is like a good setting. I feel creative. And the three individuals that we're on right now, I'm excited for them to share their stories. That's a win. And me and my team delivering on our word, that feels good, because I don't like things on my chest and my conscience. Yeah. So that's a win. So Serge is wearing a Jalen Brunson t-shirt, so that's a win. So a lot of winning going around. And speaking of winning, why don't we go around to the three individuals, let them introduce themselves. Ladies first, to my left.
Okay.
Hey, say hello. Tell us a little bit about you.
My name is Katie Masters. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Also known as Nail Thoughts on Instagram and all the other social media platforms. And I...
Like MySpace? Like when you say older, like...
No, all the other.
Older, I was like,
all the
were you
older,
crushing
I'm
MySpace?
Like, I'm MySpace, Tumblr.
I love it.
And I started doing nails in 2015. I actually opened my own private salon space. It's literally a little smaller than this space.
As it
and
should be.
Yeah, awesome. And it's just me, and I just grew my clientele with reviews
word
and
of mouth.
Word of mouth, not as much. It was more than like
reviews.
Just reviews, online reviews,
Google?
And then Yelp.
Yelp.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a California thing or what, but
Yelp's doing
it's so
thing.
Funny. Every time I'm somewhere else, I'm like, oh, I'll write a Yelp review. They're like, oh, I'll write a Google review. I'm like, yeah, what's going on?
Yep.
But that's how I grew my business. And I had to stop taking clients because it was just, I was
too
booked
yep.
6 weeks out. And then from then on, I think I was just going
did you
so
ever
hard.
Consider, I apologize, did you ever consider raising prices?
I did.
Yeah.
I did multiple times.
Yeah, for everyone who's listening, I hear that a lot. That's why I just jumped in to give everybody value. A lot of you are, you're the person that makes the money, the lawyer, the lawnmower, like you're doing the thing.
The service.
When, correct. when you are hitting capacity, yes, you could always do more, but then there's a burnout for all of us, regardless, yeah. whether that's 30 hours a week, 70 hours a week, there is a threshold. It's raising prices that help you grow your business. If you choose to do that, obviously there's a million ways to expand products and services and things of that nature.
Totally. And so, yeah, I did raise my prices a few times, and then eventually I just went so hard with social media. I didn't know why, I didn't have a goal, but it was very much in the heyday of Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, everything was hitting. It was just back in the day. And then I think I just build my community up so well that a gel brand that I loved, Cocoist, reached out to me and they were like, do you want to have a gel line with us?
Love.
And so we have this collaboration and it's amazing. And then the pandemic happened and I shut down and I started doing press-ons, like hand painting press-ons.
Humongous.
Crazy. And I would make, you know, 60 sets at a time and for a month, and then I would put it for sale and it would sell out in like under 4 minutes.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was so great. And I think just launching the colors and the press-ons, I just was like, dude, I love this. I love launching stuff. I love marketing stuff.
Selling,
I love selling
stuff. Yeah, me too.
And so cool. I think that's kind of where I'm at right now, is like an awkward transition of maybe stepping away from doing nails and continuing to do. My clients listening are like, what did she say? They're like, what? But it's very much
like, you could be like The Rock. Or, you know, in wrestling, you could come out of retirement once in a while and just, like, do it. You know, there's, like, some cool stuff you can do.
Yeah.
All right, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's keep going to the left. That's a great starting point. Way to give us that context. Yes. I'm sure that resonates with a lot of people.
100%. Colin Dark, C-O-L-I-N-D-A-R-K-E. I'm the ambidextrous artist. I've been drawing and creating artwork my entire life since I was 5, really. And in 2019, especially prompted by the Gary Vee Challenge, I started producing more and more content on social media, and a lot of my drawings just took off and got viral on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube. And so I've had a lot of fun with that. I'm also an attorney and compliance professional. So I was kind of balancing doing all that at once. And just 2 weeks ago, I left my corporate job where I helped build up a fintech over 8 years, and now I'm just doing my own individual law practice and consulting business, kind of leveraging everything I've learned over the years to help smaller startups and clients. And I'm trying to transition or integrate that into my social media, my social media presence to kind of add
you're
more
putting,
value.
You're putting out more other legal and compliance content, not just the drawing.
Right.
That's awesome.
So I'm just starting that now. Like,
makes sense. That's what
2 weeks, and I started.
Yeah.
I just came up with a logo and had people kind of vote which logo they like the best for Colin Dark Solutions, and joined this little entrepreneurial like startup law firm. So I'm the sixth attorney with the firm, and it's called Go With Canvas. And it feels like the startup culture from when I first started the business I was in, which is when I had the most fun because I was wearing tons of different hats, and
it's
able to help marketing. I was able to like share all my ideas with every aspect of the business. And then as we grew, it was like, no. Yeah. You're the attorney.
Yeah. Yep.
And I've never been just the attorney. I just
don't
like that.
You draw.
Right.
So you've got to create, you've got the gray and the black and white. You've got them both.
Yeah. And I've got to, I have to do them all the time. So if I shut one thing off, it's like, it's not good for me. Like
I
start slowing down with all things.
Yep.
So the more I could just run towards something that fills me with joy, which is like creating something versus kind of like something that was depleting it a little, the more energized I am. So the more I will do with these different businesses with my art. So
I love it, brother.
Had
Thank
a lot
you.
Of fun.
Yeah. My man, take us home.
Beautiful. So my name is Drew C. I am, at least in this context, a rapper,
yep.
a musician. My good brother Farron and I, shout out to the Black OC, we, at the beginning of 2020, at the behest of Gary, actually, he had a conversation with the legend Nipsey Hussle about 3 years ago, and he made a very bold prediction saying that within the next decade, someone's going to come out and they're going to make a song a day. Just the nature of content
yep.
to contextualize the conversation, you were saying there's too much opportunity for someone not to.
That's
basically.
Right.
And so Farron actually came to me with the suggestion, let's blow that out of the water. Let's make a song and a music video every day.
Love.
And so we started on January 1st. 365-2020. That mm-hmm. was our mission, and we got the whole community in Orange County behind us, all the creatives, all the musicians, all the producers. We had a real large communal movement towards actualizing that vision, in large part just to say, hey, Gary's right, and the opportunity is there, so why not be the ones that capitalize on it and go for it? I flew out. I moved my whole life from Denver out to Orange County. We rolled for about 3 months. COVID hit, and then we got about 3 months more. We got to day 187, and after George Floyd died, Farron really felt this deep cause to go and document that. So he actually went and made an amazing documentary called Bang for Change. Everybody go check that out. It's a really, really powerful visual representation of what was happening on the ground, both in Orange County and all across the country at that time. He put a lot of really, really good work into that.
Amazing.
And it felt like at that point the movement shifted.
Yeah.
So I've been continuing to make music. That's really the core passion that I have, is to be a creator and to use my voice to tell stories and to speak and to connect with other people's stories. Beyond that, we've started a retreat company. We run retreats around the world. We have one of the biggest wellness retreat companies in the world at this point that we've started.
Love it.
And are pushing that. I'm a people person, so a lot of what 365 taught me was more, you know, the creative side of me is for me, but there's a lot of me that I was actually withholding. And so it's transitioned me now.
The people skills to operationalize it, to do something.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
And to give people the inspiration for them to do that same thing too.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because I think a lot of people feel that. And so now I've got my hands in a couple pots. Like the music is always cooking. It's always there.
Yeah, of course.
It's always coming out with new content on that front. And then, yeah, being able to really bring people together in a more communal format to really focus on their well-being, their mental health, their spiritual well-being, so that they can go out and produce whatever they need to produce to be in that same inspirational level. That's where I'm at now.
All right, well, to that point, in our little four-person family here for the rest of this hour, I want to be here for you as much as possible. That's the most interesting part for me. So why don't we go back around the horn, and why don't you fire away with some questions? Because I think your questions are many millions of people's questions that over the next three decades this will be consumed by, and a lot of them are universal and some of them are contextual. Mm-hmm. You know, there'll be a time where people will listen to this and be like, what was COVID?
Yeah.
You know, that's just how the world works, you know? And so, but I'd love to answer anything very narrow, anything very broad. So let's fire away. Kate?
I feel like I mainly have two sort of questions.
Please.
First one would be, you know, as I transition away from
services
doing nails
to selling
and
yep.
doing services, mm-hmm. I don't know, I guess the main thing I'm worried about is so many people followed me for nails and the art and posting, oh, here, watch me do this, watch me do these nails. And
do you have that same audience after you move it on them?
Yeah, I'm like
and
worried.
Instead of putting out content for them, now you're selling them something and that changes the relationship as well.
Yeah.
And by the way, the handsome gentleman to the left of you is gonna go through that as well now, right?
Yeah.
You have an audience following you for drawing and now you're talking about legal shit. And by the way, the old man in the middle here went through it as well. I built my career for 5 years on talking about wine and then just one day said, I'm gonna talk about business and marketing now. And everyone's mm-hmm. like, what? Mm-hmm. So a couple things. You can fear the fact that there's a start over. You can fear that you're not gonna get as many listens and views. You can fear that you'll get comments that are like, you're a sellout or I miss the old you. But what you must fear the most is when you want to do something that is in your soul and stomach, staying for them versus going for you will make you the most unhappy. Mm-hmm. It will bring the worst out of everything. And so, unfortunately, it's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
As humans, if you stay for the wrong reasons, even when those seemingly are wonderful traits of being loyal or trying to do the right thing by somebody that did right by you, it is not sustainable.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is, everyone who goes through this journey needs to put their ego on the shelf. They need to lean into humility. They need to lean into the joys of the early days of starting at zero. And so like, yeah, I mean, you'll, and you know this, even the way you were talking about Instagram, you've already lived through things changing with platforms that have nothing to do with your content. there are ebbs and flows in times where you're getting more views than ever, then you're more viral than ever. Even think about sports and music. Like, there's just sometimes you're on and bad, like you're having a good season, and other times you're not. Music. You can go through 24 months where you're as big as anybody in the world, and then like you can go 3 years and people like forgot that you, they, like they hear your song and they're like, yo, what happened to like, you know, 3-6 Mafia, even though they're legends. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. So I think you need to lean into a Zen place of, I know why I'm doing this. And it came earlier. The way you talked about selling shit, you're there, Katie.
I know.
So like, yeah, it may hurt. It may not do as well. Your first post a couple years ago or a year ago or whenever might do better than future ones because it was the first time you ever sold anything. You built up so much equity. Some people just bought that shit just to support you because they've been enjoying you so much. But then that balance of like what you give versus what you take, it changes. All of that's okay. Mm-hmm. All of it's appropriate. I think you just need to realize it's going to be a slog. Or it might not be. Yeah. Because it's not like you're doing what Colin and I did. You're not going so far away.
Totally.
It's not like you're now selling, like, you know, tires.
Right, exactly. You know? I'm like, guess what, everybody?
So I think what you're probably worried about is you inherently know already it's harder to get views mm-hmm. than it was when you blew up. And now you're going to tweak it, and that probably is going to compound that. Yeah. Don't live for the algorithm. Live for your happiness.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Like, being being associated with likes and followers dictating what you make is really one of the big vulnerabilities right now in the creator economy.
It's bad.
People are like showing too much. I mean, I really worry for people that are attractive. Both boys and girls hit me up pretty often about like, yo, how do I stop showing my fucking, you know, boobs and ass and chest and like pecs and six pack? Like, I'm not that person anymore. But every time I try to go into anything else, I'm like, listen, your audience came for the visual modeling, and now you want to talk about, like, you know, origami. Like, there's going to be a transition, but you can't keep showing your skin because you're addicted to the likes. Mm-hmm. You've moved on and want to talk about being a barber.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you're just going to have to deal with the transition, but you're going to find a new audience. My audience is bigger than ever because of where I went, even though it was a hard reset.
Yeah. And then what are your thoughts on, this is just my second question, so the gel line I have, it's continuing to expand. It's a professional gel line, right? So half of my audience is gel, nail techs, nail salons, professionals.
Makes sense.
And then if I were to relaunch press-ons, for example, completely different audience. So I'm kind of stuck on...
Well, remember, the days of... the content we're all consuming being based on who we follow is changing.
Yeah.
So for years I've been pushing do everything on your channel and everyone would always get mad at me. Yet the algorithms did the work for me. As we all know, it's now no longer social media acting like an email newsletter where everyone sees everything you post. It's the content is the variable of what people see.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to actually post both.
Yeah, I'm like worried about the mixed messaging. You
are, because will that fuck up the algorithm? It's
right.
The content is the variable.
Mm-hmm.
If you put out 800 pieces of content as a barber about being a barber, and your next post is about you rock climbing, and talking about like the protein bar you ate, if that's a great rock climbing protein bar post, it has the potential to do better than any free post you've ever had. The algorithm is not penalizing you per se for doing something different. Yes, in the first early seconds, if your audience doesn't engage as much, there may be some things, but it also may lead to the thing that you should be doing. Just like you serendipitously found from your music to, wait a minute, I'm actually something else. Like, you're not gonna get as penalized as you think.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, do it for a year and see what it feels like.
Yeah.
More than ever, social media is about the individual piece of content versus staying to the things that you always needed to talk about.
Right, it's very much I get stuck and like, oh, I've been posting this all the time. And then it's very much like, okay, well, this is for professionals. And then, oh, also, I know the professionals won't buy this, but here's another product for people that just want press-on nails. It's all under the same umbrella, which is great.
I think you should do it both there. And I also think like once every 20 times, you should do just one post about you talking about both parts of the world.
Yeah.
It's like a nice reference point. It might be a good pinned for you.
Like a story.
You might, or a pinned post.
Yeah.
Now that we have that, like top left corner of your main accounts, as for people that are in social creative every day probably are following with what I'm saying, you may want to have one manifesto video. As a matter of fact, in general, that's probably a good strategy for most people. The top left pinned post for everyone should probably be a long form video kind of giving everyone a what's up here. Yeah, I think that actually we might be creating the movement of a standard practice right now, because it actually makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Everyone's top left pinned post should actually be a recap video of what's up.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, like, here's what you'll see here. Here's what you can expect from me. Here's what I'm about.
And this is me.
Well, I like that.
I like it.
Me too.
Awesome.
Like that. Like what do you got, brother?
No. Yeah, I like it.
Well, that was a lot of what I was...
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, what I was...
Yours is a much harder turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I've gone off on, like, showing different sides of my personality.
Good.
And I do get, like, hate sometimes.
Yeah, like, it's a drawing.
Yeah. Especially, yeah,
this
if
is
I give
boring.
An opinion
like,
on
yeah.
something, it's
well,
like, I came here for the drawing.
You're going there, of course.
Yeah.
Like, and opinions are, like, impossibly hard for us human beings to handle now. We're incapable of handling an opinion from
honestly,
someone
God.
That isn't ours.
And it goes into my DMs and
of
stuff,
course,
and it's like, all right, so, like, this is getting rid of some people that I don't really want following me anyways, and... Hopefully, the people that appreciate
well,
this.
Well, let's talk about that, Colin. I'm not gonna actually use you, but I'm gonna level it up, and I just want everybody to hear this. I actually think, and Colin's incredibly sweet. You can already tell, but I think it's an important statement that I want to tag on to because I want to bring value in this podcast. Look, I think we all know what we're talking about. You know, subtly talking about here, whether it's politics, social issues. There's a lot going on. This concept of people being mad at you and no longer following you because they don't agree with something. That you said, being people that you didn't want following you anyway, I think it's something we need to challenge. And I'm not, picking.
Oh, that's fine.
It's just normal talk.
I'm a lawyer. By the way,
I'm sure I've said it as well, so it's not even about that. It's just a fun convo that I'd like to bring up. Just quick little commercial break. I really think we need to think about that. That is the point of the joke I made prior a minute ago, which is like, we need, the only way out of this anxiety that everyone's feeling is we need to get back to the capacity to have some form of civility and empathy for understanding why someone doesn't see it your way. We have to. Like for me, some of my friends have, I'm aware whether they're to the left or the right, why they don't see something the same way as me, because their mom or grandmother both raised them and like we're really about XYZ, I'm not even gonna go into the specifics, but we need to get back to like having compassion for, and to your point, Colin, this is why I jumped in, I'm not mad at the nastiest stuff that gets sent to me, I'm trying to have compassion for, but to your point, man, it hurts. Like when you are getting really railed on, like, and sometimes scared, I mean, I think guys have it better than girls, like girls' DMs get really scary. Because guys on tilt to women are, like anybody on tilt, like women on women, men on men is always bad, but guys on tilt to women sometimes go into really uncomfortable places.
Dark.
Yeah, very dark. And so like, in general, we need to have, if someone has the capacity to go dark on you, they're not in a good place. And by the way, now I'm like, it's so funny, I just realized why I'm saying this. In the last 72 hours, and Sid is in the room right now, and Sid and I got a very interesting DM from Twitter about 6 months or a year ago from somebody apologizing for something that was really detrimental to me. I don't want to go any further, but like a real heartfelt apology. And at the end was, I was just in a bad place and I was using you. In the last 72 hours, I got two more of those, not to the same level of the one that I'm referring to with Sid. One was solid, I remember it. One, very honestly, I don't really remember, so it was kind of minor, both apologizing in DM for doing bad things and using me, and both ending with, you know, explaining the justification, you know, just in a very dark place in my life. I was in a bad place in my life. It is just so clear that the people that are sending the nastiest stuff are not in a great place, and it is on us, anyone who's not. I'm in a super great place, so I'm doing who I'm doing. But a lot of us are just neutral. Wouldn't say we're remarkable, wouldn't say that we're fucking dark.
Yeah.
I think all of us in the middle have to look in the mirror and say, I need to choose bright. Because it feels like the middle decided to choose dark in the last 7 to 10 years. And so everyone in the middle, if you're just kind of like, okay, not loving life, but not like fucking hating it that you want to go around and fucking threaten people and shit on people, can you just choose 2024? Like, well, I'll give you a lot of time. I'll give you to January 1st. Can you rewind this 6 months in a row? And just like, can you choose in 2024 to just choose light instead of dark. I think that could really help. Anyway, I apologize, I went on that tangent, but I just realized why, because, man, it really hurts. Like, you know, like, and it's, you know, and what people think is like everything everyone says is like intended to hurt them. And it's not. Everyone's sharing everyone. We're all kind of equal in our opinions. Mm-hmm. Like, it's your opinion. And like, of course, there's a moral right or wrong. People's moral right and wrongs are different too. Like, it's a wild world. We just need to be a little more optimistic and a little bit more empathetic.
Yeah.
Rant over. Go ahead, brother.
No, I appreciate that. And that is kind of one of my mottos is just bring sunshine.
Yeah.
And I do focus on
that's
how I show up. And you
so
know,
can I give you a piece of advice that will be epic for your soul?
Epic?
All right.
Yes.
The next DM you get that's really nasty. Like, fuck you for saying that. I'm unfollowed. Yeah. No bullshit. Audio, reply in DM, and be like, hey, Johnny, I get it. And like, fuck the world, right? Like, because don't forget, this person loved you at some point, or liked you at some point.
Yeah,
or
followed you.
You know, followed you, right? Yeah. I get it. And like, I get it. Like, it's acknowledging that everyone gets it. Hey, I get it. Like, I'm sorry to see you go. I respect that. I wish you nothing but good on your future trails. I just want you to know that I saw this and I appreciate that you ever followed me or that you ever got value for my drawings and I wish you well. I'm telling you, that's a big deal.
Not
and it will
it.
Work for you. And of course, I'm sure you could be, this makes sense. I'm saying this for the hundreds of thousands that are listening in the short window and the millions over the next years. It will be good and you'll like it and it's good and you'll leave a good deposit for yourself and the world.
It just like humanizes you too, because then you're not just like, they comment and not thinking that you're just like an anonymous person.
Oh yeah, I comment.
I feel like they're just like...
Sometimes with some of the negativity, I like go like paragraphs of like where I'm coming from.
No,
just
yeah,
so they
yeah,
like...
Yeah.
Real quick on that, that's where I like, notice how I said audio versus written word. The other
thing
thing I've learned, it's good for everybody.
Better.
Audio allows you to create tone.
Yeah.
Written word, if the person's in a bad place, they're going to read it in a very different voice than you wrote it in.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, what's dangerous about the written word is the person is actually reading it in their mindset, not in your intended volume and nuance.
I had that with someone that, one of my team members, and she would bring in emails. She's like, can you believe they emailed me this? I'm like, read it like you're happy and you're doing it. She's like, oh, wait, yeah, it's not that bad.
Like, it's like,
how
really,
how dare they?
It's really like why I like audio and video.
Yeah.
I do a lot with my company. We had an interesting meeting yesterday with all 2,000 employees where I had to talk about like something that's not going well in the company where people are kind of doing the wrong thing. But I knew if I sent it as an email, people would be scared and it would become this thing. And I knew if I could do it on video in real time, that I could impose my intent and my energy, which I think made it land 10,000 times better. So for all the leaders here, before you send a group email to your 15 employees, your 9 employees, your 17 employees, all your customers, consider a video or audio because you might be able to get your point across dramatically better because it has the nuances versus you being at the vulnerability of where that person is in their mind at the time of reading. And again, back to the anxiety in the world. 15 years ago, the email was less scary. There's more people on tilt and anxious today and looking for a gotcha and all that. And so the written word is more vulnerable today than ever before for people that are trying to communicate certain things. So keep that in mind.
Can I hop in with the question there?
Let me finish. I don't feel like I got into it. We got time.
Specific question.
Yes.
As I'm tilting towards this focus on representing fintechs and small companies and kind of you're one of my like ideal clients.
Yes.
So when you're assessing going with a small law firm or a consultant, like what goes through your mind and like what's like
I buy
your
from
focus?
People. And so this is why I love you. You're about to explore the world of LinkedIn. So my intuition is, though I could be wrong, but I'm gonna guess here, that you weren't like overly focusing as LinkedIn as your primary place to share your drawings.
No,
right.
Not at all.
So now, here we are. So what's really rad for you, because you seem very curious and creative, kind of more of my mold, you're about to get serious about getting good at LinkedIn, because LinkedIn will be your entire, and I mean massive driver of business development. And for someone like me, if it became on my radar through an introduction, through a cold email, through a cosign from someone, or through a piece of social media, the first place I would go is to LinkedIn to see what your presence is. And if I have 49 videos, and I can be like, oh, I like this guy. He seems like really like you know your demeanor. It's already good. It's like you've got a good demeanor for a lawyer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this
yeah.
is a good juxtaposition. I like this tone. So I think for you, what you need to do is put out the video or written word, or even like if you're doodling or draw, yours is much more than doodling. If you're drawing while you're talking about issues or opportunities, that'd be really rad. like, especially because you could draw like a lawyer yelling at someone, or office, or a fintech, or a SaaS company. Like, yeah, you know, no, it may no, seem nerdy, but it's not nerdy for the person that's trying to make a decision, right? For everyone who's listening right now, a fintech, SaaS business, or consultancy, like, that's not cool. It's not cool until you need it. Like nothing's, like very few things are cool. Music, fashion, like, we know what's cool, but like, many of us buy things that aren't cool. Like, insurance is not cool. But like, Geico has those, Geico, like, you know, and like, Flo from Progressive, and like, right. State Farm, they exist to make you buy their insurance because it's not fun or interesting or cool. But everybody who's just listening probably has State Farm or Geico or Progressive because of those three characters, mm-hmm. right? So I just thought that Harrison Ford just walked into the bookstore, but I was wrong. But he really did look like him. I was like, Han Solo's here.
Stop everything. I saw you stop.
You see me? I'm like, oh my God.
I see it.
Anyway, so I think LinkedIn's gonna become huge for you. And I think, you know, that would be the decision tree for me and for a lot of people. People more and more back to Yelp. The evolution of Yelp and Google reviews is social. Think about everybody in this room just with head nods. Like, now when you're thinking about going to a restaurant or taking a trip or buying something, think about how much more now you search on TikTok or Instagram or YouTube than you did 5 or 7 years ago. That used to be Google owned that shit. That is not where people go as much anymore. And now AI's coming. And so, like, content, content, content.
Man, soak all that in for a second.
Yeah.
So my question is kind of, it came up as we were going through that, because what you're talking about like the state of the world and the need to choose the most positive and the most light, that's really like what I lean on as a person. That's, yes. I feel very passionate about that.
And you know what's unfortunate? I'm sorry to jump in. No. When people hear choose positive, they think they're being delusional.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, I don't want to do that. I need to keep it real. I'm like, you mean real negative?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm keeping it real. If like, I see a lot of good.
Well, especially with the state of the world, right? Because that anxiety can actually fuel where people come from in their perspective, I think.
But that's what they want. And it's funny, I don't believe in like the Illuminati or the Matrix. I just don't. When I say they, it's just the collective of people that are all, it's just momentum.
Yes.
We have a momentum of negativity. Right?
So in that, right, in this momentum of negativity, I wholeheartedly believe in the need for individuals to choose to not be caught in that wave.
Yes.
And I also see the difficulty, especially when it comes to creators, because there is this box that you can kind of put yourself in where I'm the nail person, or I'm the drawing person, or I'm the music person. I ran into this in 365. One of the biggest challenges for me personally was I got to the point where I had this idea in my head of what success was, right? This is what being a successful musician is going to look like, feel like, be like. And I got to the point where I had people who were like very invested in the process and who were very kind in their feedback. They would always provide me their energy, but it wasn't what I expected. So I felt disappointed a little bit. And I think a lot of people feel that a little bit when they get to the point where they're like, wait, I kind of made it, but it's not the thing I thought it was going to be. And I don't know if I can necessarily change it into the thing now that actually needs to honor me and my soul. So this is kind of a long-winded question, how I'm putting it together,
You're painting a very clear picture, mm-hmm. including one of my favorite subject matters, which is expectations always lead to very vulnerable frameworks.
Yes.
Especially when you have expectations of others.
My question here is, when you're looking at the world as it is, where content is kind of the driver now.
Yes.
And it's not
And always has been. The newspaper, the radio, the television was the driver. Content has always dictated everything. The words out of your mother's mouth in your house, it is the way the world works. So what's different is it's democratized to allow anyone to hit scale that we had never seen before.
So individual content in that sense.
Individual humans have the capacity now to hit the scale that countries used to have the ability to. That's profound. That's called the internet at scale.
And so when you have that realistic experience for an individual, you could actually have your message shared. And for a lot of people, I think where they get scared is, well, I don't want it to put me in a box the way I share it. And there is this negative momentum in the world, and so I have to stick to being as positive as possible, but I don't want to put myself in this box. My question for you would be, when you are looking at individuals, right? Mm-hmm. None of us are in a box. We all have so many different talents and skills and perspectives,
yes.
and a lot of beauty we can offer.
Yes.
The insecurity that stops people from doing that and from actually being in
their whole self,
yep. not just a little yep. piece I of their you. Self. What is your advice to those people who know it's there, but who just can't necessarily pull it out of themselves in a way they could show it?
To start working and putting in the work, on the elimination of fear. The thing that is stopping everyone is fear. The fear that most stops people is the fear of other people's judgments, more than the fear of not having money, which is like profoundly interesting, because one, money has a level of practicality, the other one is a boogeyman. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, whether it is therapy, which I think is profoundly effective for so many people, but has a cost associated with it, whether it is the limitation, this is a big one, this is a favorite of mine, because it's working. Got a text last night, I won't use last name, Rachel, big shout out to you, I loved your text at midnight last night, she pointed to a piece of content that touches on what I'm about to say, and it's changed her life. Whether it is the limitation of the people around you that you love that bring negativity on the hour, every day, every week, every year. Not the cutting out, not calling mom and saying, fuck you mom, you're negative, I'm never talking to you again. No, instead of talking to your negative mom twice a day, you talk to her once every 2 weeks. The limitation, because cutting is not practical. If your brother is the single most negative energy in your life, it's unlikely that you're gonna sit here, hear me say this, and never talk to your brother again, nor is it right. The limitation gets you to a stable place, which then allows you to go back to that person on offense and try to get them into a good place. The cutting out forever does nothing. You stalemate it. Mm-hmm. The continuation of consuming it at the scale you're consuming it does nothing, because you're not getting to a sound place yourself to be able to help them. The limitation, limiting the energy that you're taking from your loved ones or closest people on negativity, is a massive way to get to where you want, that you just asked. Health on the physical side. Exercise, eating better, is a driver to people getting there as well. And then my favorite, which is when you limit number two, the negative, and you expand the positive. Putting positivity in your ears is a massive game. Just like the negativity that was put in your head by your parents, by your teachers, by your best friends, by your significant other, by your husband, by your wife, by your boyfriend, by your girlfriend, by your two coworkers that also hate their job. When you convert that to limitation and create the capacity for 30, 40, 50% more positive, bring in positive. Notice that a lot of popular voices are just pulling more negativity on the other side. Mm-hmm. That's not gonna get you there. You having negativity and then you deciding to deploy negativity isn't solving the problem. It's a short-term good feeling of like, you're not getting punched anymore, but you're punching down. Okay, but what about like, yeah, but what about having a healthy conversation that stops the punching on either side? Mm-hmm. So my brother, it's about eliminating fear. The way you eliminate fear is by putting in the work. Therapy, exercise, meditation. There's like a lot of different ways to actually get there. Mm-hmm. Spirituality is exploding because it's one of the ways, mm-hmm. right? Spirituality amongst young males, unheard of when we were coming up the game. So 25 years ago, a dude talking, yeah, maybe a far-fetched hippie somewhere. Now it's mainstream, people talking about spirituality. It's wonderful. And this is an East meets West game, right? This is good, we're getting, I see mentality hitting a level of purple that politics isn't. I think we're starting to take stuff from a India, from a Buddhist, from a Asian, from a Eastern European, like the stuff that some of the people in my life are doing around grounding. These are things my great grandma used to tell me. She's like, go outside and take your shoes off and walk on the grass. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, or like, put onions on your feet. Everything's from your feet. I'm like, onions on my feet? Like, yeah. All this weird stuff that seemed like I was like embarrassed because like no American friend, they were just taking medicine and like, go to the doctor. And my family's like, eat this like thing we just pulled out from the ground. I'm like, grandma, you know. Now this is becoming something that people are starting to talk about again. I like this, I think we're finding the middle, and I think for everyone who's listening, find the middle, and that middle is, you can't be delusional, but this cynicism and negativity is just not working for anyone. You tearing down others because you feel suppressed is not going to work. It's just war.
Can I expand on that a little?
Please.
Because when you talk about the elimination of fear, I'm a big proponent that it's a very hippie and cliche thing to say, but love always wins.
Always.
Right? And love is the absolute remedy to all fear.
I always say love is undefeated.
100%.
It just might be losing at halftime.
Yes.
And that's what's happening right now. Love's losing in halftime right now. Love was losing in halftime in the 60s. Like, it ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. Love is just losing at halftime right now. But I don't think it's fucking hippie. I think it's the most practical shit on earth.
Hey. So I work with a lot of young men, especially, and for a lot of them, a very common theme that I see is that they don't have practical access to actionable love in their life. And so it's almost like the fear wins by default at that
Correct.
Point. So what's your advice to those people, to young people, men and women both? I personally work with more men, but I'm sure women feel it too.
Everyone feels it.
And when it comes to being a young person, you don't have like a great family, you don't have a lot of supportive people around you.
Find your family.
Gary Vee.
Find your fucking family.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That's why we love friends so much.
Yeah.
You pick those fuckers. You pick them. I didn't pick my brother and sister, though I'm very lucky because I love them both, but like, and I have a great sitch, but I know a lot of people that don't. Like, we pick our friends. And by the way, shit changes too. I love loyalty. Do you know how much I love loyalty? I fucking love loyalty. I'm still a Jets and Knicks fan.
Hey.
I fuck with loyalty. But if your friend changes and you've given everything you got, limiting that is okay too. It's fighting for love. It's fighting for positivity, and it's putting that on a pedestal over any other attribute. People put loyalty above positivity and love.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it because I respect it. It's like such a beautiful, right? I think we all fuck with people that are loyal.
Yeah.
But if you're loyal and you don't realize you're the alpha, you're the beta, and your loyalty is continuing to drive you into negativity because you're being loyal to a negative energy, you're not being loyal. You're being an enabler to bad behavior.
Mm.
Do you know how many people right now think they're being loyal, but what they actually are enablers to toxic behavior?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's that.
You're enabling your sister to continue to complain. If you stop letting her complain, shit will change.
Mm-hmm.
Katie, back to you. I'm gonna do speed round here a little bit, because I know we went with the big ones. Now I want to do just a couple little ones on the way out.
No, I mean...
Anything? Stand out? Any other question? Anything like... I know we went very heavy there.
No.
Anything as simple as like, what should I do on TikTok stories? Or like?
I know, I'm like, anyway, TikTok, I feel so bad.
No, this is what I love about it.
Yeah.
Nothing's bad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we went heady, but now let's go like, what should I price my nails at? $19.99 or $20?
Right.
Like, this is, I'm really glad you just said that, because I think this is a moment for me to tell people. Nothing's bad. You can go heavy. I feel as comfortable talking about like world love as I do 2 seconds later trying to sell a Pokemon card on eBay.
Yeah.
I don't think that's beneath me just because I did that, or that's bad because I just did that. Everything is acceptance for me. It's all okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's all okay if it's good intent.
Yeah.
You don't have bad intent.
No.
You're not saying, how do I rip people off, sell them nails, and never ship it to them? You're saying, you know what I mean? You're saying like, hey, I've got that. Like these are all, and by the way, here's a big one. If you don't fulfill yourself, you're not going to fulfill anyone else.
Man.
One of the reasons I'm so capable of like bringing good to others is because I'm bringing good to myself.
Mm.
Yeah, it's so funny because I feel like my whole theme all the time, especially lately, I don't know why, is very much, oh, I'm scared they're going to be mad at me. Like when this podcast comes out and my client's here,
yeah.
I want to step away from nails, they're going to be devastated. And
I'm
like,
can I say something, Katie? Just even knowing you for a little bit. A lot of them are gonna be happy for you.
Yes.
Honestly,
Katie. You're very right.
And you're so sweet. You don't wanna disappoint them. And you know what's funny about me? I gotta do a better job in the next chapter of my life. I make a lot of silly jokes or say unique things, but they're actually very serious. When I said earlier to you, you should be like The Rock and come out of retirement and do WrestleMania, I actually mean that.
Yes.
Imagine if you said, hey, I'm doing this. If this goes well, how many clients would you say are sitting in your stomach of like, oh, they're gonna be mad? Like, just give me a number.
Dude, only like
I know.
Three.
Exactly.
You know?
No, I knew it.
Yeah. And you see them in your head and you're like,
no,
oh, God,
I
can't believe
I
just said that.
Uh-huh. So once a year, come out of retirement for mm-hmm. three, do a spot, like a whole day,
mm-hmm.
and fucking do their nails like they've never been done before, and fucking have dinner.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you could really take care of that.
Totally.
You see where I'm going?
Yes.
And now we've just put that on a we're good now.
Yeah.
Those three ladies, we're gonna fuck. And by the way, you can do it once a quarter. You could be once a quarter. It doesn't even have to be once a year. You can do it once a quarter.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're gonna have to find somebody else if
mm-hmm.
they're doing it more often. But you do dinner with them once a year. It's like they're gonna be happy for you.
Yes, totally. And it's funny, even like the transition from doing nails and posting nails and building my platform on based on people being like, oh, I can't wait to see what nails you did, and then switching from, hey, I am selling this kind of stuff now. I'm like, they're gonna be so mad at me. Like that, it's so funny. It's such a theme.
And there's so
like worry.
I'm proud of you. You love your community,
mm-hmm.
but you can't fear your transition.
I know, that's what I'm scared of.
I get it. Well, guess what? Sometimes, you know, one thing I really believe in is like, this was supposed to happen 3 years ago.
I know.
But maybe but maybe it was supposed to happen today for you.
But the fact that it happened in 2020, it was just very interesting. It hit me. I was like, oh no, this is something I really like and I really enjoy.
You can't not follow your light because you have nice love to three ladies.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yes, totally.
I know it sounds silly, but it's good to talk through.
Yes, but even like the followers, you know? Like
the
even them,
the followers, just like, you're staying in a general pocket. Oh, by the way.
Yes.
As my team knows, I'm doing wine content a little bit here and there lately too. Like, you know, in a year you might want to do it again, like once in a while and film it. Like, there's no absolutes in this.
Yeah.
What do you got, brother?
Similar, kind of what you're talking about right now. So I have a tendency to like, I'm going to write a book. Now I'm going to do, I'm just going to start a tech company. I'm doing this attorney stuff. Then I'm going to do this consulting stuff. And I want to do all the things all at once.
Good.
And I obviously drop balls too.
Yep.
I want to know like, if you have a process for picking the balls back up, so like picking this back up, or if it just naturally flows in like a year down the line, it's like, all right, you know, I'm going to pick that book up again.
More the latter. However, as I became bigger financially, it allowed me to have more infrastructure around me. I used to make content by myself. Mm-hmm. I used to do my own calendar. I used to make strategic decisions by myself. Now I have full two office of the CEO, you know, chief of staffs. I have three full-time admins. So how big's the team, Sid?
About 35 people.
I have 35 people full-time making content with me. Like, but that was all built over time. So in the beginning, it was the latter. And then as I got to a financial place where I could create infrastructure around me to keep an eye on some of the things or help me move them along or project manage it or double check it or cross the T's and I's, I did, and you will do the same.
Nice, I like that.
Building, big advice for everyone. Hiring an admin early who you are mentoring to a much bigger position should happen more. Too many people hire career admin thinkers instead of young bucks who are willing to eat crow to do the admin work just to be close to you because they want to be somewhat like you or some version of you or like you. Huge opportunity for a lot of people out there and can really help. Brother.
Beautiful. So I have two, I'll make them quick. First one, a lot of what you're talking about to me when you talk about eliminating fear, being in that positive, being aware, self-aware.
Yes.
A lot of that, the way it comes across is very value-based, but I'm a strong believer that there's a big discipline component too. So for people who are maybe struggling in that process of discovering themselves, finding clarity in terms of not allowing the fear to overwhelm them, where's the balance between things that are instilled value-wise and things that you build discipline-wise?
It's a great question. I think, you know, discipline, look, you've got, don't worry about the sound. I love this. This is how I love it. So don't worry at all. Thank you so much, sir. I like the reel of New York in the back. And trust me, this is already going to be the best sounding podcast we ever do. So like, this will be more than fine, that little car in the background. How I think about instill versus discipline comes in the following. Most of it was instilled in me, or I instilled in myself, or I altered a variation of what was instilled in me as I started to observe and adjust to life. Discipline. 10 years ago, I was like, oh crap, I am not in good shape. I don't eat well, I never exercise, I have no muscles. I started to get a little bit educated here in random things like your leg muscles are a direct indication of how long you live because so many people fall in their 80s and 90s because of weak legs and prematurely, you know, speed up the process of dying. And I'm like, I don't fucking want to die. And so like, you know, like I started this. And so 10 years ago, I created discipline around my eating and workout behavior in the form of self-awareness. And I realized that I needed a babysitter. Not because I needed someone to police me, but because I needed to be accountable to someone because I'm not good at being accountable to myself. I'm a good leader because I want to do it for Dustin and Julian and Sid more than I want to do it for myself. I'm a team captain. But when it comes to me, I never and still don't want to beat how fast I ran or pump more iron than I, like I'm not competing with myself. I like competing with others and I like to lead others. So what I needed was a babysitter, so I hired Mike full-time, Mike Vacanti, mainly because I didn't want to let him down. Like, it was a weird self-awareness game that figured out how to create a discipline around something. So you're not gonna be able to create a discipline for yourself if you don't understand how you work. Mm-hmm. I had an epiphany that I'm better for others than I am for myself, thus bringing someone into my health and fitness life, didn't create the policing that it sounds like. I needed someone to be my full-time trainer. Sounds like someone needs to be my babysitter. It was the reverse. I needed to make someone proud. I needed to come through for someone. I needed to be accountable to someone. It was a game changer. I think for a lot of people listening here, if you can figure out your framework, then you can deploy it. And that's what I did there.
Beautiful, beautiful. Last question is, if we ran 365 back again, could we get the Gary V cosign?
100%. Hey. You get to all 365 at the end. We'll make sure on a vlog, we give a hardcore cosign, pick 4 or 5 songs to integrate into that vlog. The team's right here watching. You get to that number and do a 2024 365 or a half if you start tomorrow and do it a full year. You don't have to do a calendar. You can do it continuous. We're about that.
Done.
My friends, thank you. Awesome. Where can everyone find you? Let's go, Katie.
Nail Thoughts, like as in thinking about nails on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, everything.
Thoughts.
Yep.
Yep.
ColinDark.com, ColinDarke, and that's my handle on all the socials.
All the music is Drucy, D-R-U-C. Instagram is Jedi Alchemist.
I love it. Vayner Nation, give me a lot of feedback on this platform, this kind of genre. Do you want more podcasts like this? Love you, Serge. Thank you. We'll see you next time.